Thank you, Tony. Now I invite James Silva from the Louisiana State University to come up and give his talk.
Thanks, Mary. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here and giving me this opportunity to share to you some results of one important objective from my dissertation research at LSU. So today we are going to talk about sheep blight, which is a disease in rice of recognized worldwide importance because when the pathogen attacks, it can kill the plants and the farmer could face a total loss. And its complex inheritance and a large contribution of a GBIE effect make it really tough for us to breed and obtain stable resistant varieties. And we know also that whole genome sequences have been used successfully in research in humans where they study monogenic disorders that are usually controlled by a single gene of a large effect and which has a Mendelian inheritance. An example of that success was the work conducted by NG et al., where they were able to identify a single gene causing the Miller syndrome, which is a disease that causes severe malformations in humans. So we were inspired by the work, and we started our project pursuing our objective, which can be simply stated as the use of whole genome sequences from 13 inbred lines to try to identify candidate genes for sheep blight resistance in rice. As part of the Rice CAP project, 13 varieties were selected, and they are supposed to be a representative small set of varieties that are used in breeding programs in southern United States and in California. So they were chosen because of the characteristics in diseases and traits involved in milling and quality. And then the DNA was extracted from these 13 inbred lines and was sent to Santa Fe in New Mexico to the National Center for Genome Resources, where Andrew Farman and his group deal with the DNA using the Illumina GA platform. And after applying their standard protocols for alignment, annotation, and base calling, they were able, and having in mind that the reference genome was the Nippon Bare, they were able to get a huge database that in the average has a coverage of 5.3x. And about 2 million SNPs were detected across the 13 varieties. So we use that information as the input, but before applying effectively our strategies, we started by defining two groups of varieties. So we can say that we have three susceptible varieties, Cocodri, Cypress, and Lemon, and three resistant varieties, Jasmine 85, MCR, and Tequin. So after defining these contrasting groups, we take the database and at the first step, we started a process of applying some filtering steps. So at each step, we are trying to reduce the set of candidate genes. So we started by removing those variants that did not meet our threshold for average quality. So we removed all the variants or SNPs that had an average quality score lower than 25. Then from the remaining set of candidate SNPs, we also put another constraint, and this time we monitor the average, the coverage in the variety. So we only consider varieties that have enough coverage across all 13, only variants that have enough coverage across all 13 varieties. And then, and the third step, we kept only those variants that have three reads in one of the groups, either the resistant or susceptible groups, and no reads in the other. And at the fourth step, we only focus on those SNPs that are conferring resistance. So that's why we kept SNPs that have 100% frequency. Remember that frequency is just the ratio of number of reads that are matching the reference variety to the total coverage that was computed for each variety. So we kept the SNPs that have 100% presence in the resistant and not present at all in the susceptible group. Then we focus only on those SNP variants that were located inside regions that code for amino acid. Okay, and then we proceed to identify our candidate genes. And in the same time, when I was dealing with this approach, I was also falling in love with the use of GGE by plot to try to display the analysis of GBI interaction, so that I have some background in that approach, and I try to introduce it. So that's why we use a second strategy. The first two steps are just as the previous strategy, and for this new strategy, at the third step, we just remove non-polymorphic sites because they were non-informative in this procedure. After that, I applied a principal component analysis using a standardized frequencies, and with the output, I took the first two principal components to conduct a cluster analysis. And at the final step, I just computed a table of means that gives me the mean of the average frequency for each of the clusters within each variety, so that I was able to identify a single cluster that perfectly classified the SNP variants. Here are some results of our work. So applying our first strategy, we were able to narrow down our set of candidate genes to over 322 SNPs that can be grouped based on gene ontology into 240 protein families. Interestingly, all of chromosome but chromosome 10 had candidate SNPs. And if we take a look on the particular families for the top families of particular functions, so we saw that most of the SNPs were related to kinase and glutamine binding and peptide repeat. The part that I love with of the GGE by plot is that you can have in a single shot a lot of information. So here we see that using in chromosome 9, using the first two principal components, we were able to account for about 65% using the first two components. And whenever you see an elbow shape in a GGE by plot, that is reminding you that you have some sort of independence, and that is can be translated into the a clear separation between the groups of varieties. And we see that there are some SNP variants that tend to be present only in the resistant varieties and absent in the other group. Okay? So, and luckily for us, the results from our two strategies were very consistent. Then we proceed to try to validate and to assess how good are the SNPs. So we did that using also two strategies. We made use of the other varieties in the pool of lines that were sequenced. And among them, we have the resistant chufen, so that we verify consistency with the resistance of chufen. So most of our candidate SNPs, they show that the alleles from conferring resistance were also present in chufen. And we also checked and the other susceptible lines that we have, and they also show consistency with the susceptible group. And we also tried to use a PCR base and a SNP specific platform. So Jambit Sanabria just designed primers, and so far he has been able to design primers to test for to 80 of our 240 candidates' NIPs. Here are some results of that work. So the varieties that you see that are showing green are tolerant varieties or resistant varieties, while the ones showing red are susceptible. You see that there was a total agreement among the susceptible lines, and we have some inconsistency inside the resistant group. But we see that our two parents, this MCR and tequin, remember that they are part of the varieties that were sequenced, and they were consistent across all these candidate genes. This second group of lines were taken from our work in multi-environmental trials, where we just tried to identify double haploresistant lines that are coming from the across between Cocodri and MCR. So again, the resistant varieties are shown in green, the susceptible ones in red, and we see that there is a total consistency, as a good results inside the varieties that were classified as resistant and stable using GGE by plot. And we have some inconsistencies. We see here for line 181 that supposedly have the resistant allele, however, it is performing bad in the field. So our explanation for that is that now you cannot just consider a single allele, but you have to focus on the total haplotype. Perhaps the fact that this variety has missed three of the alleles that are competing resistant, that's what made it a poor performance. And also, remember that the concept of penetrance tells us that the fact that you have the allele there, that doesn't mean that you necessarily express the trait in the field. Okay. And we also go to review the literature, and we see that, for example, this candidate gene is located at the bottom of chromosome 9 and is associated with the regulation of salicylic acid, that which plays a role in disease reaction. And these two examples are also inside in chromosome 9, inside a QTL that was detected by Liu et al. In 2009, and is related to this function, threonine kinase, which also plays a role in disease resistance. Our conclusions are that we are demonstrated that whole genome sequences can be useful successfully to identify genes. The SNP profiles were consistent, as we showed. And we know that further investigation is required in order to validate these genes. But we have developed and bringing some valuable information, and we are going to use this in the future seasons to try to use a back-cross marker-assisted selection. And then we know also that we need to add more varieties, because if we want to study other traits, perhaps the small set we have is not enough for you to identify the polymorphism you need. So if you are more interested and you want to see the details, you can go to this website and get a hard copy of our work. Finally, I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity, as well as to the institutions that funded this project, to Dr. O, who has been my advisor over these three last years in my life in LSU, and the other authors that participated in this project. Thanks.